A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. So the Pharisees went off and began to plot how they might trap Jesus by his speech. They sent their disciples to Jesus, accompanied by sympathizers of Herod, who said, "Teacher, we know you are honest and teach God's way sincerely. You court no one's favor and do not act out of respect for important people. So give us your opinion then in this case. Is it lawful to pay tax to the Roman emperor or not?" Jesus recognized their bad faith and said to them, "Why are you trying to trick me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that is used to pay the tax." When they handed Jesus a small Roman coin, Jesus asked them, "Whose head is this and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. At that, Jesus said to them, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's." The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus the Christ.
All right. For anybody that's a kid, I have a quarter. Come and get a quarter.
Greg's going to come too. No, I'm just
I want you to read on here. First, tell me whose face you see.
George Washington.
You think so? Okay. And what does the little prince say?
God we trust.
What does yours say?
In God we trust.
What does yours say?
God we trust.
How about yours, Ben? In God we trust, in God we trust, in God we trust. How about you, Greg? You got to get a little closer.
In God we trust.
In God we trust. So that's on all our money. And I'm going to tell you the story of how that got on our money, okay? But you can keep the quarter.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Yes. No, you just answer like Greg. Sweet. It's all good. Well, let's see. All my pieces of paper are all messed up right now. Hold on. Sure. Okay. So, the money of the United States bears the official national motto, "In God We Trust." It's a curious and sometimes contentious part of our history. Apparently, the motto first appeared on coins during the Civil War, a not-so-subtle assertion that God was on the side of the Union. During the height of the Cold War, when the atheistic Soviet Union was our most frightening enemy, Congress passed laws making the phrase the official motto of the United States and ordering that it should be printed on all U.S. paper currency. When the motto and its exhibition have been challenged in court, the decisions have ruled that it does not favor the establishment of religion and therefore is not unconstitutional. A 2004 Court of Appeals ruling said that the references to God on money or in the Pledge of Allegiance, quote, "have lost through rote repetition any significant religious content," end quote. On the other extreme, President Teddy Roosevelt called references to God on coins sacrilegious. God and country, church and state, the debate has confounded Christians since the time of Jesus. So, who do we give honor to, right? So the Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus, and so they brought along some fans of Herod, and so they were asking him this question so no matter how he answered, he would be in trouble. So if he answered, "Give to Caesar," then all of the religious people would be upset with him. If he said give to God, then all the government people would be upset with him. So, wise man that he was, he skirted the whole thing and said, show me a coin. And then said to them, and number one, two, also three, it's just interesting that they had them in their pockets. Because if you were the Pharisees and you were opposed to this Roman tax, why would you have the coin in your pocket? So that's a very interesting thing. So when he hands it back to them saying, whose face is on it? Give to God what's God's, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, he avoids the trap. So for those of you who are younger, it's kind of like saying, have you stopped cheating at cards when you play cards with each other? Well, if you say yes, you admit that you had been cheating on cards. If you say no, that means you're still cheating on cards, right? So you'd want to avoid that kind of a question, and that's the kind of question this was for Jesus. So we look at that response of his, and what we know is that everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. All that's created, all that we get to do, all that we have as talents, all that we earn, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. So when we face that tension of church and state, it really isn't a tension at all. Because we have all that God created, and we are created by God to care for God's creation. And so for us, we are the caregivers, and we need to make sure that our government, the state, cares for people in the way that God would have us care for people. So that's our responsibility as voters, is to sit with the issues and the people who are on the ballot and to say, who among these people, who among these issues is going to further the reign of God? What's going to take care of the poor? What's going to bring dignity to workers? What is going to increase love in families? What is going to increase education? So we look through that lens all the time. And the notice that I put in the bulletin was about that people get annoyed when a preacher preaches about political stuff, right? All of this is God's. We are the caretakers of God's creation and our fellow people. Our neighbors belong to us. And so what isn't about church about that is, how do we be faithful? How do we be faithful people and learn about the issues and learn about the candidates and make the best informed decision we can? So as I was pondering this week about the state of the Holy Land, and it's such a complex issue, it was like, what can I speak about? And what I can speak about is that Jesus did not come as Savior to fix things, but to transform us with love. So Jesus' mission was to transform suffering with love. So what is our response to the situation in the Holy Land or Ukraine or things that are happening here in the States, attacks on Jews and Muslims are going up every day here in the States because people are rallying around one side or another side. We are called to love. We are called to act nonviolently. We are called to be peacemakers. So that's what we're called to do in response to what's going on, and to pray for the tragic situation that is going on there. We know that as people are exiled, the ripple effects of that will be amazing, just as it was in Ukraine, as refugees flowed into neighboring countries. How do we respond to that? So we do have a call to respond. And we respond not because it's political, but because it's our neighbor. And Jesus asks us to love our neighbor. Part of that for us is to be transformed within. We all have those places in us that want to strike out, that want revenge, that want, that wants what we want, that wants what benefits us, that is in our circle. And so when we look at Jesus' behavior as he came, it's to suspend that and to respond in love every time. When accused, when trapped, when they want to push you off the cliff, when they betray you, when you stand before the powers and you don't talk back, that's core strength in love. And we each need to develop that inside us. So whether we're in school classrooms, or we're at the supermarket, or we're taking a road trip, or we're at home, how do we develop that loving heart of Jesus no matter what the circumstances are? No matter what the circumstances are, we need to love. A conversation for another day is what tough love looks like, right? But I'm not talking about cheap love. I'm not talking about Hollywood love. I'm talking about agape love, the love of Jesus that is sacrificial, that we're willing to give up something or give of something, time, talent, and treasure, in love to further situations. So it's not just war, it's everything we do. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this community as we support each other in that. When we get ready to bring up a gajillion hats and scarves, we're acting in love. That's what we do. And we're going to do it again and again, and we're going to do it in hard situations. And we're going to talk things through when we disagree, because that's what happens when you choose to love. So our money says, in God we trust. In God do we trust? With our personal lives, with what we are called to do, with what might get rough. And we say, yes. Do you trust God? Yes. Do you trust God?
Yes.
All right. I'm glad. Sometimes it's easier than others, right? So as we begin our prayers, you know, lifting up the specific prayers that we have, we know that we're trusting God to change us. A situation may change, but we're asking God to change us in the process.
Okay, we're going to lift our prayers.